Go ahead, John. What do you want to say?
What do I want to say?
Tigers have lost four in a row. You're already giving me a look. Say what you want to say.
Well, I mean, you did it again. Thank you, I guess.
I don't know.
Well, you keep making these grand proclamations. And the grand proclamation wasn't that the division is over. I think most people, whether they want to say it or not in those words, believe that the Lions or the Tigers are going to win the division.
Right.
And the Guardians, you buried them. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They look dead.
Yeah. But you didn't bury Kansas City, although it's kind of implied when
you declare you division declare the over division in July. Over. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This time it was the obnoxious and arrogant calling for apologies.
I still
on
stand
Monday.
By it.
That's fine. But you instantly call for apologies, and then you look at what the Tigers have done over the last three games since that moment. I mean, they've given up, 22 runs in three games? Thank you.
Not good.
You know, 32-4, but I'm not going to put the last loss to Kansas City. That was a series win. They just lost the last game. Mm-hmm. And then you came in and demanded that everybody apologize to you, bow down and say, oh, I was so wrong.
It's because there's no curse. It's because they're not going to lose this division.
Okay, but you keep sending them on these.
I'm not sending them anywhere.
Downswings.
I don't have that power or authority, John.
Well, it's just kind of. I agree with you. You don't. You have zero.
It's a good thing I don't. It would be very bad for everybody involved. Anyway.
But the timing is such that every time you open your mouth, this happens.
I know. And you gave me a look as soon as I came in today. But good morning, everybody. It's 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park. We've got Gov and Greg behind the glass. And you heard Dustin Fioco on the updates. We are going to talk a lot of football today. We also have Dear John and the two grand slam for a Thursday. But yes, the Tigers have lost four in a row. They've been swept. Very rare this season have the Tigers been swept. And John, I guess we could start with a classic, something or nothing. Is this something or nothing? What's going on with this baseball team?
Nothing in terms of the losing. They're going to lose, have some streaks like this. They had one that they lost 12 of 13. All right. They will be just fine. That's why you win more series than you lose. You stack together four or five series wins so that when you have a bad moment like this, and there's plenty of excuses, right? Hey, they're playing on the West Coast, or it's, you know, late at night. What? I don't care. They're tired. It's late August. Everyone is like that. So you're going to have a stretch where, hey, the bats aren't there enough and the pitching's not good enough. So be it.
It's nothing in terms of like nothing to panic about. I think it's something when it comes to the fact they don't have a number two pitcher. Right, Casey Mize gets lit up yesterday, and we were digging back. Do you realize his ERA, his last eight starts? So we're going back to like early July. Eight starts for Casey Mize. He has an ERA of 7.2.
Right.
And this is a guy who we were penciling in. He was an all-star. He's a guy we were penciling in to be the number two come postseason time. You go, okay, well, fine. He doesn't have elite swing and miss. Maybe he's more of a three or a four. Flaherty was on a World Series winner last year. Well, we all know you can't count on him start to start, but it's good news. They brought in Charlie Morton. He's a vet. He's pitched well in the second half of the season. He got lit up the other night. So it's something in the sense that if you don't have a number two, you're going to tax your bullpen that's not as deep as they were a year ago, and that's something.
Yeah. And I'm curious about the entire starting staff. Because even if you look at Skubal, and we hold Skubal to a completely different standard, mm-hmm. fair or unfair?
But that's fair.
If we're talking about Casey Mize not performing to a standard that we think he's at, but it should be, it's lower than Tarek Skubal. Tarek Skubal over the last, four to five starts, he had a gem last time, not two times ago, but, and I know 2 days ago, right, 12 strikeouts.
Yeah.
But
he gave up the grand slam.
He gave up the grand slam. And so, I mean, the biggest home run that we remember him giving up the grand slam was
Lance Thomas.
Yeah.
ALDS.
So
five.
If you're getting into August and September and even your ace isn't performing as good as he is expected or has traditionally, he doesn't. Casey Mize doesn't. Morton, we're still figuring out. His last start wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
Paddock hasn't been great. Like,
he pitches Friday.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Kansas City. At least he knows the division, right?
Sure. There you go.
But my point is, none of the pitchers have pitched to their individual standards in the last month to 2 months.
And I think we said yesterday, like, you got a month to figure it out. What is it, like 27 games here down the stretch to figure it out? Like, if they don't have a number two, they're not going to the ALCS.
I wish you'd stop saying that. I know.
You can't be constipated for the playoffs, John.
I know.
Got to have good bowel movements.
Got it. You got to clear the runway.
That's right.
And so, I mean, yes, they've got to figure out what's going on with this pitching staff. Because if you pitch this way, this irregularly, and I didn't even mean that, but yes, if you pitch this irregularly,
if it's oily and messy and
number two's not
splatters
good.
All yeah. over,
then
you're
going to have
yeah.
issues.
Yeah. You're nice, firm, compact.
And now you're taking it too far.
Okay.
So I'm going to say this is barely something. And the reason is that who they play this weekend.
Yeah.
Because of the direct matchup with Casey and their 8.5 out, and the pitching matchups are, you know, tomorrow night, Paddock versus Lugo, uh-oh. And then you got Flaherty versus Undecided. Well, I might like Undecided better.
Like and a true bullpen day.
And then Sunday, Skubal and Waka. And you had hoped Skubal could stop the bleeding if they lost the first two of that. And if they, my only, it's something if they get swept.
If we're coming in Labor Day and the lead's down to 5.5 and they've been on a 7-game skid.
And that's two consecutive school losses. Plus, well, yeah. In general, they haven't won his starts. And
you know what? When you say undecided, you're kind of more excited about undecided or more confident in undecided. If it's Melton for 3 innings, yeah, I would be more confident in that too.
No, it's the KC's undecided, though. It's Flaherty versus undecided.
Oh,
no. What I'm saying is because I went to the game last Sunday and Flaherty, you guys, you wouldn't believe how hard the balls were hit off him. He was horrible. But beyond that, the outs were like, oh my gosh, they hit it right to our guy or he would have had a triple.
Right, but if you flip it around and you say, okay, well, where is the confidence in this pitching staff? And if you're going to go with pitching chaos or an opener, I'd have more confidence in Melton right now after a Skubal start than, you know, and especially if you're saying Melton's only going to go 3, maybe 4 innings.
Well, that's the thing. If you're figuring it out might entail Melton is the starter,
yeah,
or opener, whatever it ends up
being.
Don't
say starter, opener, sorry, yeah, yes. Because it makes all the difference in the world.
Well,
I say with great sarcasm.
No, but AJ is very, you know, particular about how he manages this rotation. But he may be getting answers that he didn't expect. The answer might be I can't give Casey Mize the ball in a big postseason game. The answer might be Troy Melton's the hot hand. I mean, I don't know how the next 4 weeks will play out, but they need more answers than they have right now, and you don't get to choose whether you like the answers or not. You get the answers you get, and you make the best decision off of them.
Yep. ALDS starts tomorrow. This is what I'm doing. It's Skubal, Morton, Melton on a short opener, and then figure it out.
Flaherty maybe game 4?
No, the ALDS.
So ALDS, yeah. You're hoping
rotation,
you're done.
Most likely.
Yeah, you're hoping to
create 3 wins. We'll sweep.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that, though. I'm leaving 3 starters, playing. I'd probably go Melton, Mize, depending on how the game was going.
But the Mize thing is a thing now, man. He was an all-star in the first half. His second half, I gave you the last 8 starts. Like, we were doing this pre-show, and I go, what do you think it is? And you go, 4-5, up. Is it in the 5s? Up. Can't be in the 6s. Up. 7.2 ERA in 8 starts.
But do you go into that third game? Because I agree with you. I think it's Morton after Skubal. You go into that third game with pitching chaos, and you say, Mize, you've got the first 2 innings. Then we'll determine if you're going to get inning 3. And then Melton, you're up next, and it's a couple of innings, and we'll determine if you get innings 3 or even 4. I think he could go longer. I got more faith right now that he could go a little bit longer than Casey Mize. Now all of a sudden you're in the 7th, maybe 8th inning if you can get a little bit of extra juice out of Casey Mize.
But do you see how this becomes a problem in the ALCS?
Oh, I think we've all identified that.
But I'm not talking about you, like,
an issue.
The listener. Like, as we're kind of going, hey, I can kind of patchwork my way through a 5-game series. All of a sudden, I'm relying on guys I don't want to be pitching in the 5th, 6th, and 7th inning. I got to get to Finnegan. I got to get to Vest. That becomes really daunting in a seven-game series with the way they're pitching.
And then that's when you need somebody to step up in the biggest moments. And maybe it's do something that's a little bit out of character and be dominant.
Yeah.
But you need performances like that in the postseason, whether it's at the plate. And like, because yesterday, the other thing that we're not talking about because the pitching has been the issue, mm-hmm. is two hits.
Yeah, I shut out.
That's not good enough. Obviously. I mean, okay, master of the obvious there.
The only hits in the day were Torkelson and Dingler.
Yeah. Dingler's been good. I don't know that we've talked about him enough.
We haven't done enough talking about the season he's had. Tigers lost 7-0 to the A's, swept by the A's. They were swept for the third time in the second half of the season. Pirates and Blue Jays the other two times they were swept in the second half. And we asked a question, something or nothing. We've got Lions fact or fiction. We are a week. What was that?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Hot mic.
Hot mic.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's not a sweet. What? You said Blue Jay sweet?
Oh, they were not. It was a four-game series.
Yeah, they've had two of those where Cleveland and Toronto came in here and won three or four.
Yeah, I said it, and I looked back, and there was like a peanut gallery look, and I go, oh, I screwed it up. Just tell me it in the moment because I know Ticket Tex is going to clobber me for it. Fine, they're swept for the second time in the second half. Pirates and A's, not exactly a World Series bunch there. But the Tigers are in first place by 8.5 games. We asked the question, something or nothing. Lions fact or fiction at 6:35 this morning, and then we're going to get deeper into the Lions at the end of the hour. It's 97.1.
Value-driven banking begins with First Merchants Bank. When I have questions about my finances, I turn to my bank, and that's First Merchants Bank. I know that their attentive local bankers are 100% interested in listening to my situation and helping me find the answers that I need. First Merchants doesn't provide cookie-cutter solutions or check off boxes when it comes to financial advice. They're going to take the time to learn about my life and my personal financial goals and work with me to build a plan that fits my unique situation. That's because First Merchants Bank really cares. They see me as a person, as an individual, and not just as a number on a spreadsheet, and they're going to do all they can to help their customers and communities succeed. You can count on that since First Merchants Bank is staffed by local bankers. They live and work here who know and are passionate about the needs of the local community because it's their community as well. And we all have to work together to help it continue to prosper. To get started on your personalized financial solution today, all you have to do is visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, member FDIC.
Dan Dickerson on the call, 7-0 loss. Tigers swept by just the fourth time this season.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm going to sit there and say it's nothing. It's a rare occasion this year that they get swept in a series.
Yeah, they were swept by the Dodgers to start, mm-hmm. the Mariners right before the All-Star break. They were swept by the Pirates shortly after, and then, of course, the series out in Sacramento. We asked the question, something or nothing. It's only something in that the starting pitching is a problem right now. They don't know who the number two is. It's taxing a bullpen that has a bunch of projects they're trying to sort out themselves. It's something in that this will be a problem come postseason time. Texters. Dickerson spent an inning blaming the performance on the ballpark. I don't want to hear it, bruh. Yeah, both teams are hitting in the same ballpark.
Yeah, and I know when they were finishing up that series with KC, I was listening to him, and I think it was Petrie that was on with them. And he was talking about going to minor league parks. And, you know, Petrie was like, oh, I'm excited to see it, but I never liked playing in parks like that. Like, and I don't really understand that concept. And I guess unless you're a major league ball player, it's really hard to figure out what the difference is.
Oh, I get not wanting to play in a minor league ballpark. You feel like it's beneath you. But at the same time, both teams are playing
But it's a major league ballpark right now. Yeah. So.
But like in terms of the atmosphere, it's a smaller ballpark capacity, crowds. It might feel small time. That's no excuse.
Right, but is it beneath you then to play in the Little League World Series game?
I think it's different when it's like a one-off thing as opposed to a series, or these dudes play 80 games there. Texter says, we have the Mets next and they are hot. Yikes, this could turn into a problem. No excuse, the Tigers are not as good as their record, signed KJ.
Really doing that again?
Anytime the team loses, you know the ticket text we get. Ticket texter says, good morning. I agree with everything you guys are saying about the Tigers. My question is, the other AL teams also have similar flaws. Is there a seven-game series where they actually have the better rotation? Well, Houston's got a 1-2 punch with Valdez and Brown, but the Tigers have had success head-to-head in that.
Right.
The Mariners are at least four deep with their starting rotation. I mean, Toronto,
I mean, what are they? They are probably confident with three of their starters.
Sure.
Yankees have a 1-2.
Yankees have a 1-2 with Freed and Rodon,
Red
both
Sox
lefties.
Have Crochet, I mean.
Who's right behind Skubal for the Cy Young.
Yeah. So, I mean, it gets way more concerning and interesting, I guess, if you like sitting on the edge of your seat for a 5 or 7 game series.
Tech says, guys, the Tigers don't have the pitching to win in the playoffs this year. And honestly, they might not have the hitting either. That's Doug and Hotel. Have the Tigers been in first the entire season? That's Sergeant Ammo in Swartz Creek. And most of the season, they've been in first place.
In the division, yeah.
In the division.
Okay, yeah, except for the first three
games. Series where they swept by the Dodgers.
Yeah, at some point, it was like mid to late April. They took over sole possession for good. Yeah. How about this stat? Is this something or nothing? Mm-hmm. This team is 500 since June 13th. That's 2.5 months of baseball. They got the 21 over on June 13th.
Yeah.
And have just kind of hovered there.
Yeah.
But some ups and downs, but yeah.
You can pick a number, right, Greg?
No, I'm just saying, like, I think it was a week ago, Tom was exalting the fact that they had gotten back to 25 over after, like, they were 25 over, had their slump, and now they're back at 25 over and having their. Now having back
a mini success,
which is a way of saying they've been 500 since.
Yeah.
Da-da-da.
Right.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. Let's get to Ed. Ed, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, you know, as far as the team goes, you don't have an ace anymore. Skubal is, if you look at his numbers, he's, I think, 18th best in Major League. So, to me, he's an average pitcher.
What time frame and what metric are you using to say Skubal is 18th best in baseball?
Since June 17th.
All right,
since June 17th.
What about when there's a full moon?
Yeah, look, come on, you guys. He's 11-3. He's been 11-3 for 3 weeks, and he's not doing anything. Maybe I'm looking at him more than the offense. And this is a one and done team. They're going to get in the playoffs, obviously, but they're out the first round. They're done.
As they're currently pitching, I would agree with you.
Right? Yeah, and I don't know that we're going to argue that, but and I will go to, and I mentioned this a few minutes ago. In the last 6 weeks, Skubal hasn't been the Skubal that he hasn't pitched into the Skubal standard that we have, but he's still been really good.
So I've got his ERA by month. In June, it was 1.89. In July, it was 1.82. August, it's 3.06. Which I think if you have eyes, you've seen the last month here that it's been. But 3.06 is not a bum.
No, it's not. But it's not what we expect. We expect Skubal to always hold to that 1.18.
No, and I'll give Rico credit. He made the point the other day. It really puts extra pressure on Skubal with the way everybody else is pitching. Because if you lose game one with Skubal in the ALDS, you kind of feel like you're hosed right now.
Okay, well, if you want more pressure, if that's what's affecting him.
No, I'm not saying then, that's. Then, I'm saying just like as a Tiger fan.
It does put more pressure on him, yes. But if you're going to be the guy that wants $400 million, then go out there and perform.
Ticket Texter says, it's baseball, guys. Remember one thing. All right, let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, the news of another school shooting rocked the country yesterday when we learned that a gunman opened fire at a Catholic school in Minneapolis. 2 children were killed and at least 17 others were injured when shots were fired through a stained glass window. This was during a mass celebrating the first week of school. These little kids were sitting there in the church pews when this rampage took place. The 2 children that were killed, 8 and 10 years old, 14 of the 17 injured were children. 2 of them are in critical condition. The shooter has been identified as 23-year-old Robin Westman, formerly known as Robert Westman. The shooter died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. It's being reported that the shooter did release these really disturbing, twisted videos on YouTube, which included a manifesto. He had this whole journal that he was flipping through as this video played. He was writing in code in this journal about basically his obsession of school shootings and his obsession with Sandy Hook and things like that. There were firearms. The magazines were marked with different words and phrases, and it's an absolute unspeakable tragedy. I was listening to the radio on my drive to pick up my kids from school yesterday, and they played a sound of a little boy who was like 6 years old talking about him being there, and he basically thought he was going to die, but he said, my friend protected me, like got on top of me when we were hiding under there. And then as I'm driving to pick up my kids from school, I'm thinking, my gosh, could this be my child? Could this happen to my kids? And it's nothing you ever want to imagine taking place at the school your kid goes to.
Yep.
It's just, it's devastating.
But it's very sad news. It's so devastating, awful. And yeah, when you think about your own life and your own family and your own community and your own kids, like, something's got
to
be done.
Yep. Three Macomb County residents have pleaded guilty to conspiring to scam more than $3 million in federal COVID-19 relief funds. So there's a 39-year-old from Macomb, a 45-year-old from Shelby Township. They pleaded guilty on Tuesday in federal court to conspiring to commit wire fraud and bank fraud. There's a third person from Shelby Township as well who was previously who pleaded guilty. They each face up to 30 years in prison. And authorities say that this trio was involved in a scheme where they submitted fake applications to the U.S. Small Business Administration for Paycheck Protection Program. You know, they were trying to take out loans when they didn't really have these, obviously, businesses. They submitted fake payrolls, fake health insurance, fake bank and tax records. And like I said, they received more than $3 million in loans. Kansas City Chiefs receiver Rashee Rice has been suspended 6 games to start the season for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. He's now prohibited from practice with the team as well and is suspended without pay, effective immediately. He will be eligible for reinstatement on October 13th following the Chiefs' Week 6 game against the Lions. His suspension stems from his involvement in that horrific multi-car crash back in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. It looks like Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, is ready to cash in on their relationship's 49-year age gap. She's 24. He's 73. She has filed to trademark the phrase gold digger.
Oh, I think they filed together, didn't they?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
They're both looking to cash in then.
Yeah.
Having a little fun with their age difference. They plan to use it for jewelry and keychains and, you know, whatnot. The application sounds like hasn't been reviewed yet.
And I think there's other words in there as well that they've filed for, like for Chapel Bill. they want to trademark that. The Bellustrator, Trail of Salty Tears, the Belichick Way, No Days Off. Like
those I get. I mean, I get Gold Digger too, but I feel like, well, you can't trademark that. That, like, when you
but
hear
specifically
the word
for jewelry is what they're doing.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to prevent you from calling somebody a gold digger.
No, I know.
But
so can they be mad if we call her that, if she's going to trademark it?
Oh, no, she'll probably wear it, won't she?
Yeah, it's just another way for her to, like, you're advertising for her.
Self-identify.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Heather with the news. All right, coming up next, Lions fact or fiction. Will Goff lead the NFC in passing again? Aiden Hutchinson will have some thoughts on him, as well as the Lions season. Fact or fiction, it's 97.1.
Dr. B at Michigan Hair Restoration is celebrating 30 years of helping thousands of men across Southeast Michigan regrow their hair and restore their confidence. And to celebrate, he's giving you $1,000 off any hair transplant to mark the milestone. Dr. B is a true pioneer. He's one of the first to use your own hair to stimulate new growth. What once seemed like science fiction is now changing lives right here in Michigan. He believes in it so much, not only has he had the procedure himself, he also performed it on his own son. So forget about those outdated methods. No stitches, no staples, no embarrassing scars, just real results with hair you can run your fingers through. He offers the most advanced treatments, including natural therapies that keep improving, and he guarantees all of them. So the sooner you go to see Dr. B, the more options you'll have. Book now at MichiganHairRestoration.com and mention 97.1 to unlock your exclusive $1,000 off before it's gone.
One week away from the NFL season, it's time to lock it in. Fact or Fiction, Lions edition.
Yeah, live radio here, getting scurrying around and behind the scenes here. All right, let's get going here. Season's a week away, man.
Yep.
Next week, Eagles Cowboys, a little bit of a kind of to that, but anyways, at least it's NFL football.
Well, yeah, will Parsons be there?
Will Micah Parsons get off the training table?
Literally,
he won't play in that game. All right, let's go. Jared Goff will lead the NFC in passing yardage again.
Yes, and I don't necessarily know that he has as many yards as he has last year with 4,600 yards. I think there's a chance that it could actually be more. But Baker, he was number two last year in all of the NFL. And then you look and say, okay, well, Baker was number three. I think Baker, in his numbers, takes a little bit of a step back. Geno Smith, who was in the top 10, no longer a factor in the NFC. You got to go all the way down to Brock Purdy, who I think was 10, because Sam Darnold, also in the top 10, no longer an issue in the NFC. So I think he does lead the NFC in passing yards again. And Tesla is a part of that equation. Jahmyr Gibbs being a receiver, using him to catch the ball more, is a part of that equation.
I'll go fiction. I want the field, but that's kind of a cop-out, so I'll give you a name. Dak Prescott. I think they're going to be trailing. They do not have a run game. They added George Pickens. Dak leads the NFC.
It's possible. Yep.
Aiden Hutchinson will have 17 sacks or more, so that's one per game.
Fact. He's going to do it. Aiden Hutchinson, a fact, will have 18-plus sacks and win Defensive Player of the Year.
A fact as well. I think he is going to come back with a vengeance. He was really finding a rhythm last year, and I know everybody says, well, he was a backup tackle. I don't care who the tackles are or how many times he gets double-teamed. He is coming back with a vengeance and will be dominant this year. So it's 18 or more.
Defensive Player of the Year?
Yes.
That's what I said.
All right. Number zero.
Did he stutter?
Got the second best odds, by the way, behind only Micah Parsons, who, if you missed it, hasn't exactly been ramping up.
Number zero last year, Terrion Arnold had zero interceptions. This year, Terrion Arnold will have three interceptions or more.
I'm going to say fiction. I think he is going to be a much better player, and he'll have more passes defended. He'll be I'm not going to call him a shutdown corner. I just don't think, I mean, interceptions are really hard to come by. I don't think he has a couple, but I don't think he has three or more.
What he said, fiction.
Wow.
Interceptions are hard to come by. I think he'll have more than zero, but I'm not predicting like some big interception season.
Right.
He's the number two corner.
And they have above average playmakers at safety,
yeah,
which kind of takes away opportunity. I think, look, I was bothered by the zero last year, but then they also had the interception leader on their team. You only get so many chances to make an interception.
Right. Right. And the way the defense is set up, it's man coverage. Typically guys in zone are sitting there. Safeties, yeah, they can make the play on the ball.
And the other, but the one thing that I could say yes to is that Kelvin Shepard has emphasized, and we've heard this throughout all of training camp, get that ball out. Turnovers is all a big part of what their point of emphasis defensively. But I still think, like what Jim said, man coverage, that's really tough to do.
Jahmyr Gibbs will have 2,000 yards combined rushing and receiving.
Last year he had 1,929. It's close. I'm going to say fiction because I don't expect Montgomery to miss time, and I think they will manage the workload to get through 20-plus games.
I'm going to say fact because he was so close last year. I think the numbers for rushing stay the same. They may actually go up a little bit. He might be a 1,500-yard back because, Montgomery is there. But over the course of the season, it's still going to be a 1-2 punch, but it's going to be more in favor of Jahmyr Gibbs this year, and they're going to use him more to catch the ball. So 517 yards last year receiving goes up.
I'm fascinated by this because I feel like Jahmyr Gibbs has the potential to have an LaDainian Tomlinson – slash Sean Alexander slash Priest Holmes type year in his career.
Yes.
And does that bust through this year? And if it is busting through, do you hold that back? Like what you said, workload. It's going to be very fascinating.
They're playing
to watch
for the Super Bowl, not for individual accolades.
They're going to play in the Super Bowl? All right, we'll get to that in a little bit. Isaac Tesla will have more touchdowns than Jameson Williams.
I'm going to say fiction. And the reason I say fiction is he's going to be the number three receiver. He'll be the number four or five target. He's going to be a huge addition to this offense. But J-Mo, obviously, he can have the game-breaking touchdowns. He can be a 50-50 ball guy as well. You can use him in the red zone. But they also hand him the ball on some reverse. We've seen some big-time plays on reverses. Don't be surprised to see him line up in the backfield at some point. That's something I'm looking for with John Morton and with...
Fullback?
No, not a fullback. Come on, don't be a dork. Yeah, but I do think we see him get the ball in his hands a lot more. A breakout season, as John Morton has said.
Tesla will have more. The frame, 6'4", built for the red zone. J-Mo doesn't get a ton of red zone targets. And between Laporta and St. Brown in the red zone, I just think Tesla's skill set suits him more for red zone.
It seems like it's going to be a pick your poison with Tesla or Laporta in the red zone TDs. All right, Jack Campbell will make the Pro Bowl.
Fact. It could be a big year for him. They're banking on a big year. Green dot, he's already had some progress from his first couple seasons. I think it's going to be a big year for him.
Yep. He's going to be on the field almost exclusively. And I think he has another step forward. He's taking a step forward every single year. I would look for him to be in the top two or three in total tackles. And look for him. You talk about interceptions. A guy that, you know, numbers could go up in that regard is Jack Campbell.
Kirby Joseph will lead the NFL in interceptions again.
Fiction. And not because I think Kirby Joseph takes a step back. I know everybody wants to say, oh, the Lions take a step.
Now.
No, that's not it at all. It's some of those were tips and overthrows and, you know, right place, right time. And he's good players are in the right place at the right time. I think he still has six or seven, but to think that he has the nine that he had last year, I don't think so.
Exactly. I don't expect him to lead the league again. It's a tall task. Fiction.
The Lions will lose to the Ravens, Chiefs, and Bengals.
Fiction. I think they will lose to the Ravens. They may lose to the Chiefs, although no, Rashi Rice is a vote of confidence, and I think they'll beat the Bengals.
Same. I think there's
Chase
a chance.
Brown, by the way. The Bengals.
I Chase Brown kids.
That's a great one. Ravens. I'm not going to sit there and say that they lose all of them. No, I don't think they do. Jared Goff has never lost to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, let's not forget that. And I know there's a lot more that goes into it. It's just a fun little stat. But the Bengals, I do think that they beat the Bengals. It's going to be a track meet, but I think they beat the Bengals.
The Lions will not lose a game in the division.
I think this is fiction. It's six games. I don't know if it's Green Bay or if it's Minnesota that they lose one of them to. But to sit here and think, I mean, it's kind of just playing the odds, right? It's 5-1 in the division. I think everybody starting the season would say that's a great division record. I don't think they sweep the division, though.
Yeah, I would say they're going to win 5+, but I'll play it safe here.
5+. Okay. You're such...
Well, that's 6, then.
No, 5 or more. Greg, well, gets what I'm saying.
Okay,
my bet
then
is they're not losing multiple games, but I think they'll lose one. Let me get a couple words out, dude.
I think the road game set up very favorably in the division, meaning that you open at Green Bay, teams are going to be ready to go. They're healthy.
Yep.
They've had success there. Let's set the tone. You got Minnesota on Christmas. I actually think it's worse to play at home on Christmas.
And
you close with Chicago, and by then that's going to be a dumpster fire with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. Mobile quarterbacks will be the Lions' Achilles heel.
I'm going to say... Okay, fact, because it's a factor for every team. It's not just the Achilles heel for the Lions. It's the Achilles heel for almost every defense. The only one that we saw that could, I think, handle it is the Philly defense. And, you know, when you say it's the Lions' Achilles heel, you could also say it's...
Mythological hero Achilles.
I thought about that when I wrote this.
I love that one.
I will say, fact, it is one of their two Achilles heels. The other one would be the interior of the offensive line. But if you're starting Marcus Davenport, putting a lot of faith in him, it's going to be Achilles heel.
The Lions will win the Super Bowl.
Fiction. Because of the two Achilles heels.
Well, There's an Achilles heel for every team. Some are a little bit more visible at this time of the year than others. They'll develop them throughout the course of the season. But I'm going to play the odds and say it's fiction. It's the odds that the Lions never have even been there. And I do think we went through our picks last year or last week. I think they get there. I just don't think that they win it.
You had the Ravens. I had the Bills.
Everybody's confidence has been shaken, I think, a little bit. Justifiably so. I mean, I think the Ragnow thing changed a lot of things for a lot of people.
Yep. There you have it. That's Fact or Fiction, 97.1.
Hey, I wanted to highlight the great value that your Metro Detroit Buick GMC dealers are bringing our listeners this month. And maybe you're looking for a stylish SUV. You can lease a new Buick Encore GX for only $199 a month, or get into the stunning new Buick Envista with a starting MSRP under $26,000. Both are exceptional by design. Find your perfect Buick. These deals are happening right now at any of your 20 Metro Detroit Buick GMC dealers. 2026 Buick Envista MSRP $25,995. The manufacturer's suggested retail price includes destination freight charges. Tax, title, license, dealer fees, and optional equipment are not included. Dealer sets final price. Must be a current lessee of a 2020 model year or newer Buick or GMC vehicle through GM Financial for at least 30 days prior to the new vehicle sale. No security deposit required. Mileage charge of 25 cents per mile over 20,000 miles at participating dealers only. Residency restrictions apply.
And that would be the final. Dan Dickerson on the call. Tigers swept by the A's out in Sacramento this week.
Tough trip.
Lead is 8.5 in the division. Something or nothing. We opened the show with it. Got to Fact or Fiction. Have some of your ticket texts. It's a Thursday, which means two Grand Slam coming up at 7:25. A chance to win $2,000. And it means Dear John. Topics today are bad friend, cleaning up the mess, ex-wife versus current wife.
Ooh.
And losing weight.
Oh, okay.
So some advice from John Jansen coming up at 7:35 this morning. Some ticket texts on the Lions Factor Fiction. The Gibbs stuff really stood out to people. We got a bunch of response on that. Says Gibbs is not big enough to withstand the big hits in the NFL to get to 2,000 all-purpose yards.
You know, I don't have an issue with... I think originally when Montgomery went down, everybody had that question, like, can he carry the load? Can he sustain carrying the ball 20 times a game? And I think he's answered that question.
I think he did too. And if David Montgomery wasn't on this team, it'd be no question.
Right.
Ticket Texter says, I like the Gibbs prediction, but I'd comp it to the greatest show on turf, Marshall Faulk. Says more rushing and a few less receiving yards, but basically Marshall Faulk. And one says he will be the feature back this season, period. The reason they lost the playoff game was the misplaced loyalty to Montgomery, who was hobbled and useless early in the game. I've seen enough of Montgomery. Give me more Gibbs.
I don't want to discount what David Montgomery brings to this offense. I don't want to discount that at all. But I think we've learned over the first couple of years of Jahmyr Gibbs' career, he is special. Mm-hmm. And you're still going to have a package that involves David Montgomery. And a large package that involves David Montgomery, but...
Some would say the ultimate package.
Some might say the ultimate package, but I think that's when you have two backs like that in the backfield, you do have, quote-unquote, the ultimate package. The answer is...
I'll leave that to Lisa. So what we have here... what we have here is an interesting discussion. We mentioned Marcus Davenport a little bit in Fact or Fiction. The Lions went out and added a couple defensive linemen yesterday to help round out their roster, but none of them are people we've heard of, and they're end of the roster bodies. John, they are putting a lot of faith in Marcus Davenport. I'll ask you, is it too much faith? Does Brad Holmes have kind of a blinders on?
I don't think he has blinders on because maybe I have too much faith in Brad Holmes that they're going to go out and add Za'Darius Smith. Because it's sometimes when you look at it, right, it's just is the easiest solution the one that is going to happen. That is by far the easiest solution. Or I don't know that he has too much faith in Marcus Davenport because how could he? How could he?
Well, I want to back up. When they brought Marcus Davenport back, it's a one-year deal, and it's not very expensive.
Oh, it's $1.5 million.
And you said, based on that deal, they're going to do more.
Yeah.
They haven't. And all I'm saying is, John, it may be a possibility that this is Brad's guy. I mean, the Za'Darius move hasn't happened. Look, it could happen today, tomorrow, next week. It hasn't happened. Is it possible that Brad just loves Marcus Davenport? Brought him in, wasn't satisfied with last year because he got hurt, but is doubling down that this guy is a bookend to Aiden Hutchinson. I think it's possible Brad Holmes feels that way. And if he does, I think he is making a mistake.
Yes, I would agree with that last statement. It also could be, do they feel that they can get 4 to 5 games at the start of the season out of him? Like, are they banking on 4 to 5 games from Marcus Davenport? Anything over that is gravy, which I would agree with. But that anything over that is gravy, not banking on him for 4 to 5 games, because I got to imagine that it's going to be Al-Qaeda Muhammad, Marcus Davenport, and then insert, I don't know, Tyler Lacy, Tyrus Wheat, like the guys we don't know about, in a rotation opposite Aiden Hutchinson. And they're just simply gambling on Marcus Davenport to be there until Pascal comes back. Okay, and again, I'm not saying, hey, ooh, look, the cavalry is arriving.
Yeah.
Because Josh Pascal has not been dominant on the edge.
No. And then, again, the way their defense operates, we know Aiden's, you know, your alpha dog pass rusher. But teams can slide protections, use tight ends, chip with the running back. It's why, you know, the Lions had to get creative with blitzes a couple years ago to offset it, to create a balanced rush. I don't believe they have a balanced rush, and we're starting a season in 10 days, less than 10 days.
Well, here's the issue that I have with only having the guys on the roster right now, Davenport, Muhammad, Lacy, Wheat, whatever, is how have we seen Aiden Hutchinson used? We've seen him on the edge. Mm-hmm. We also see him line up over guard.
Reduced down, yeah.
And so if you're telling me that they're limiting Aiden Hutchinson to only being an edge, now you're not maximizing the opportunities to create unbelievable mismatches that favor the Lions, but favor Aiden Hutchinson. Like, you're not going to be able to use him the way that he is best used, and that is at every single position on that defensive front. Move him around, create fear in every offensive lineman. The only one that you're not going to have any fear in is the center. We're not going to see him line up as a nose, but line him up as a wide three, as a two-eye, as different ways. Now you can't do that, because if you do it right now, even if Davenport is healthy, you got Al-Qaeda Muhammad on one side, Marcus Davenport on the other. I don't like that.
And there's no depth. And they're very fortunate that Aiden Hutchinson is a guy that logs like 95% of the snaps. Like, he is a workhorse. Sure. But again, I think you're putting too much faith in Davenport. I think Brad Holmes loves Marcus Davenport too much. You guys let us know if that's the read of the situation in your eyes. 248-539-9797. But John, we were waiting to see how they'd get to 53. And they made two moves yesterday on the D-line. And
I believe they're at 52 now, right?
I think they still have one more spot, yes.
Yeah, because they did acquire a defensive back.
A safety from Jacksonville while we were on the air. And then the two moves on the D-line they made, you referenced it, Tyler Lacy and Tyrus Wheat. And if you've never heard of these people, that's okay. I don't think anybody had heard of these people. Lacy was a fourth-round pick in 2023. He started 8 games at defensive tackle, can play a little bit of that big defensive end, but not
Wheat
a true...
Wheat was undrafted.
Yeah, and Wheat's an undrafted dude. So they are telling you, shy of a Za'Darius Hail Mary here.
Well, okay, let's dial that back a little bit. I don't think it's a Hail Mary.
Shy of a last-second...
Last second signing
that Marcus Davenport is an every down bookend to Aiden Hutchinson, which feels crazy. If I would have told you that in April, you would have said, Brad's too smart for that. There's too much riding on this season. That can't be the case. And John, it's a very real possibility that Marcus Davenport is viewed as that bookend in the eyes of Brad Holmes.
If I'm Kelvin Shepard, I'm spending every morning meeting Brad Holmes as he walks into his office with whatever. Hey, you want a cup of coffee? Is there anything I could do for you? By the way, you know, there's something you could do for me. go get me Za'Darius Smith. And then if he says yes, then Calvin Shepard hops on a plane with contract in hand, along with Brad Holmes. They go find Za'Darius Smith, and they handcuff him and bring him back to Detroit and say, this is where you need to be.
This is the problem with the bringing the band back together thing, though. When you just all these 1-year deals that happen back, you know, early in the offseason, and then trusting Pascal, who has earned absolutely no reason to have trust in him, and now he's hurt. Yeah. So now you're in this pickle. I would say this: if it's going to be Smith, why not Clowney?
Well, that's the other option. If Za'Darius signs somewhere else, because allegedly or other Judon. Contenders are calling him. I think Judon, I screwed up. I think he's with Miami yes. now.
Oh, is he? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it slipped through the cracks in the last week as the preseason was winding down. But Clowney is, Tom, still unsigned? Yes? Okay. So that would be the other plan, but right now it's Davenport or bust. Let's get some phone calls in the mix, 7 o'clock hour. Plus, you may have seen a deal done in the NFL and how it affects one of our young stars. We'll do that. It's 97.1.